I will take the B-level producer with an A core value fit all day and sleep 1,000 times better at night because of it. And that's really how I think organizations win.
Well, hello, I'm J.W. Oliver with Do Hard Stuff, because life is hard and being an entrepreneur is hard. And I got Dr. Brad Hughes. How you doing, Brad?
Doing great. Excited to be here.
Yeah, again. Well, I appreciate it. You know, I follow you on LinkedIn and we've kind of messaged back and forth, and I looked at some of your values. So let me just read a little bit about you. Yep. Got to give a quick overview. You're the founder and CEO of Vision Dental Partners, an emerging dental group with locations in Indiana and South Carolina. Dental Partners is built around the foundational core values of action, a will to win, bring in the fire, and close the gap. You're a third generation dentist, and you have been providing dentistry for 17 years, and you are an entrepreneur, and that's what we're going to talk a lot about today. So Brad, thanks again. Appreciate you jumping up here.
Yeah, excited.
You know, you mentioned, I read something that says you're passionate about developing leaders, and we were talking before we started recording about the mistakes we've made and the things we wish we hadn't done and what are some of the ways we would have changed. And I think this is all about helping people, because running a business, being a visionary, being an entrepreneur, I mean, it ain't for everybody, right? And it's sure not easy, right? Yeah. What are some of the things that you made mistakes early that you wish you had known today?
God, there's so many. I mean, genuinely, it's, you know, we were talking about this before we started recording. And I think, you know, being 44, being in practice for over 17 years, I mean, there's certainly some things I could look back on. There's a lot of things. So I would say probably the biggest, I would say there's two really big things that if I could go back to 29, 30, 31, what would I do differently? What did I screw up? Number one, I don't think I put enough trust in team. I needed to appropriately delegate, set appropriate guide rails for my team, and then really just trust the heck out of what they're doing. And, you know, it was probably a little micromanagey. I needed to trust what they were doing more. You know, I think that's by far the biggest thing. But I think number two, you know, I probably put myself numero uno a little too often. Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure I'm not the only person to ever do that, but I did. Yeah. I mean, geez, I'll put both hands up. You know,
got you covered.
Those two things, like there was an ego aspect to that. There were other factors that came into play. Ego was probably the biggest one, like getting over the ego, trust your team, and quit putting yourself first. And I would have gone further, faster, had I just figured those things out. And yeah, it just took me a while.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about trust your team, I've talked to a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of CEOs, and they'll say, yeah, but you know, I got to make sure it's done right. And I once heard somebody say this, I love this. It says, delegation without investigation is simply relegation. So you can't just give it to somebody and then say, I'm done with it, right? There may be some reporting. You may say, let's follow up in 2 weeks about it. But there's this misconception that because you delegate it to somebody, that it's off your plate and you don't have the ability to measure that. So I think delegating is where I really stumbled, which was trust, right? Which was trusting your team, and that becomes a problem. How much did that affect you early on, where you would assign something and then you constantly check them up? I'm sure it was the same with you a lot.
Same with me. And it's, I don't really know how. I mean, if you have appropriate guardrail set, that piece becomes so easy. Like, look, yeah, just keep it between A and D and you're good. If you get outside of that, find me. Like, and then yes, like trust, but verify. There's no question about it. You've got to be able to have some level of KPI or something objective to verify that things are getting done, but not in the micromanagement way. And so I agree but I think for me, it just came back to ego. I think ego just got in the way because I wanted to be seen as the guy who could drive that result, or could, you know, if somebody else was doing it, heaven forbid, like they might take credit for it. And it just, no, like that's not how, that's just not how winning happens. And that's not how teams win. And that's not how we build up leaders around us. So ego for sure got in the way of me moving faster than what we were going.
Yeah. And I think that's, people think that might be a successful attribute because, oh, I can do everything. Oh, you know, JW, Brad, they can do it all. But the point is you shouldn't be doing it all. You really need to build up your team. I listen to Craig Rochelle, his leadership podcast, a lot. And one of the things he always says is when the organization gets better, the leader gets better. So as you build up and strengthen your own team and you build up your team to be better, then you get better automatically. But when you're trying to pull it in and do it all yourself, it's really hard. You said something else. You talk about culture a lot, and I've watched a lot of your videos and listened to a lot of your stuff. Matter of fact, you do great on the videos. I wish I was that natural with all the videos. But you talk about culture fit trumping talent.
Yeah.
And I'd like to talk about that a minute because we tend to get a resume and look and see if they have the skill set, you know, even a dentist, right? Okay, yeah, they've been a dentist for 5 years. Yeah, they graduated a good dental school. Okay, good performance. But are they a culture fit, I think, becomes a bigger piece because it doesn't matter how good they are if they don't fit your team. And I know everybody talks culture, 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 culture. Yeah, you hear that all. Oh, you got to have a good culture. People put these plaques on the wall and they talk about it. But why is that so important to hire for culture? How the right culture fit.
Yeah. I mean, it is everything. Because what's going to happen is, you know, if you have any goals for your company, if you want to grow your company, if you want to achieve anything, whether that's, and I'm taking myself out of that, but if I want my company to get to a certain level, which by the way, is the only way that the people around me are going to ever be able to grow, I'm going to be able to give them not just individual growth opportunities, department growth opportunities. If the practices are going to grow, you've got to have folks, whether that's a dental assistant, a dentist, whomever, that align with core values. Otherwise, look, there's a lot of groups out there. Let's be honest. Like there's what, 2,000 dental groups out there. Like, you know, you may really fit in with another group, but if you want to go far with whomever you're with, you've got to align with those core values. You know, we just find that the team members that come in and align with action, will to win, bring the fire, close the gap, are the ones that at 4, 5, 6 years have skyrocketed from a growth standpoint. And, you know, that's what I want from every single person that comes in. And the ones that haven't worked out, and by the way, I'm also guilty of the opposite. I'm also guilty of trying to rehab people to get them to align with our core values. And that doesn't work either. Like I've also made the mistake of not firing fast enough. And that's also held my team down at certain times because my really high level folks that do fully align have been just staring at me going, hey Hughes, you going to do anything about this? And I'm like, well, but they're high achieving, you know, let's give them another chance. And it's square peg, circle hole. It doesn't work. And it just slows everything down. You know, I know it's incredibly cliche and I didn't make this up, but like I will take the B-level producer with an A core value fit all day and sleep 1,000 times better at night because of it. And that's really how I think organizations win.
You said something that I probably took me 20 years too long to come across. And that was what you said about firing fast. I believe that I was such a good leader early on. And of course, I was focused on myself and all the stuff I was doing that if I had a bad egg, I'm like, oh, yeah. But I can change that person. You know, I'm a great leader. I'm going to change that person. And maybe occasionally, maybe that 1 out of 20, maybe temporarily they're dealing with some sort of an issue at home or marriage conflict or kids or whatever it might be, financial issues. But I would say 99 times out of 100, the faster you can get that person off your team, and I don't mean this rude because I believe that person then can then go find the right culture fit for them, right?
Bingo.
And be happier and healthy. But I tell you, the biggest mistake I've always made, and I've had well over 1,000 employees is get rid of them fast. And it's just, I would probably put that as one of my biggest mistakes is allowing people to linger. And also because you might allow them to linger, Brad, because you might think, well, you know what, it's going to create this big hole. And I just don't have time to train somebody else. But yep. Why is that a mistake?
Because you're going to have, you had 999 other employees looking at you going, dude, why do we need to perform at peak level when you're allowing this other human being over here to not, and it just slows them down. It just kills team morale. You know, when you've set the bar as high as what you and I have done, you've got to hold not only yourself to that standard, but also all of the team members. And when you're holding 98% of the team members to that standard and 2% of them not, it just doesn't work.
You know, interesting. We've had my COO and I have had some we've had some situations where we've been interviewing somebody as high as like a VP level, a director kind of manager level. And we'll always end these, you know, he may do an interview and then I do, and then we may do one together, especially these higher level roles. And at the end, I'll use this terminology. I'll say, hey, we run really fast. We move really fast. We're changing. When something's not working, we pivot. We may find a shiny object. We may chase it for a bit, but we're going to do it right. But we move really fast. And it's amazing the number of people that will say, well, I don't think I understand what you're talking about. So you do the best you can to explain what you mean. And I'm going to guess that you run really fast. You got a lot going on. You're expecting people to move as fast with you. And when they're not moving at the same speed you are, it gets noticed. And then you get pissed off. I get pissed off. And you're like, come on, let's pick this up.
Yep.
So that's part of culture as well, right? I mean, that's just the part of the culture and how fast you move. People may be coming from a big corporate environment as well. But how has that affected you as you've built a team? Because I don't know them, but I've looked into it. It looks like you've built a really good team around you as well. And I'm assuming they've learned to run at your speed.
Mm-hmm. My team runs at my speed. Yeah. And that doesn't mean that, you know, that's just part of it. I mean, to your point, like that's part of, if you're going to be on my management team, or if you're going to be at any high level with us, you're just going to have to kind of move fast. Now that doesn't mean you have to move perfectly fast. Like there is zero expectation of perfection. There is zero expectation Absolutely. Of getting it all right. In fact, you know, like that's just how we all learn. And again, like, that's just part of the guide rails. Just get 80% of it really damn accurate and just keep going, because I just think that above all is how you move. And that's what, you know, creates our ability to be malleable. And you know, if you're moving slow and it's very apparent, you know, I would, yeah, I laugh because you said something like sometimes they come from a bigger corporation and that's just the speed with which they're used to moving. There's five layers of people at some of these massive companies and yeah. They're just used to being one of those five. They didn't have to move very quickly and they find out real fast that, I mean, we may be an eight practice, eight figure group, but we move pretty quick, but we're still kind of in startup mode. And you know, that means some weeks we have to go 72 hours and some weeks we go 36 hours and whatever you need to do, you do it until the job's done. And sometimes it's a really fast 36 hour pace, you know, and sometimes it can feel like a really slow 72 hour pace, but it's either way, we're going pretty quickly. So, you just keep up or, you know, maybe go work for somebody else like that. It sounds really bad, but we're in startup mode, essentially. Like we're an emerging group. And if we want to go 3 to 4X in size, there's just things that we need to be able to get done. And that doesn't mean we're going to get it done in a day. That some of our projects are 6 month or 12 month projects, but you got to have your running shoes on.
Yeah. You said something, 80%. That's exactly what I've heard of is when people delegate, they have this anticipation that the person I'm delegating to is going to do it just as good as I can, or better than me. And that's not true. But if they can do it, and I use the terminology all the time, 80%, if they can do it at an 80% effective rate as you can, you're way better off because that freed you up to keep doing those things that have higher value and help you be the visionary of the organization to move it forward. So I total agreement. There's a misconception that, oh yeah, you hand me all this stuff. They expect me to do it 100% right. That's not true. It's just move quickly and move fast. I was talking to a friend of mine. They have, I think it's 24 practices. And he said, yeah, we're still growing, but we're getting rid of two. And I was like, oh, really? He said, yeah, they just don't fit our mission good. And I thought, that's interesting that they had the foresight not to say, well, we can't lose that couple of $1 million in revenue or whatever it is, right, from those practices. They said, they're just not a good fit. So we're going to move and find some that are. So making those kind of decisions is important for the leader as well.
Yeah, we went from a 12 practice group to an 8 practice group this year.
Oh, wow. I was not aware of that. Wow. Yeah.
Same reason.
Just not a good fit.
You need to align with our core values. Yeah. So when you say how important is it? It is everything, whether it's a hiring, whether it's an acquisition, at every step of the way, that is everything to us down to the most minute thing. So yeah, we took a step back so that I think we can take an incredibly massive step forward. And it's been really, really good for us. Like, it has so narrowed our focus. It has made me even more passionate about core values and culture. And so when I say, like, give me B-level, you know, and those are great people, right? Like, we're not saying they're like,
yeah,
B-level people.
No.
These are great,
yeah, they're
people.
Not D-level. Yeah.
A core value fits. Like, I will go to bat every day for those people. And they're the reason I show up and want to kick ass on a daily basis, because they make this thing work. I mean, when you talk about, I mean, we have incredible teams, but you talk about my management team. I mean, those guys, they make me look good every single day. And so as the leader of the company, it was my responsibility to weed out some things. Yeah. And we needed to take a step back so that we could go take an incredibly big step forward over the next really probably 36 months. So I know exactly what they're talking about when they said they needed to get rid of two.
Well, and also I think if you notice that this could be an individual or it could be another practice in a DSO group, but if you see an individual or something that doesn't fit within your organization, you can be assured that most everybody else saw it wasn't a good fit too, right? Yeah. They're looking around going, why do we still have that practice in XYZ town? Or why does Brad still have so-and-so still working here? I have no idea why he's, surely he recognizes how bad that person is. So if you recognize it, I guarantee everybody does as well.
Yeah. The risk there is, you know, if they're looking at me saying, hey, does he not recognize this or is he allowing this, then, you know, there can be a loss of respect that happens there. So, you know, you've got to be careful with it. You've got to be very, very careful.
Yeah, you definitely, when you get that bad fit. Well, you got the name. I love this. I know now, but you can explain, because we're both a little bit plain envious of anybody who has one. And you named it Vision Dental Partners. So tell me how you came up with that.
Yeah, my favorite airplane, Cirrus Vision Jet. So, you know, became a private pilot about 12 years ago, flew Cirrus airplanes, Cirrus SR-20s, SR-22s. Actually did most of my private training in a Diamond DA-40, but then quickly moved into the Cirrus. Love these airplanes. Fell in love from the first time I ever saw the concept of a Cirrus Vision Jet, a single engine jet with a parachute, all of these advanced technology, this avionics, just amazing things. First time I ever saw it in a magazine, which was, gosh, probably 2012, 13, 14. They're like, we're building this thing. It was like conceptual from like 07, 06, 07. And, you know, everybody just kept telling me, you're never going to be able to get this done. Like, this thing's never going to get certified. You're never going to get this thing off the ground, blah, 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 blah. Because, you know, the FAA, the regulations, it's very difficult. And sure enough, they did. And it took them 10 years to do it. And I mean, I would sit there and just watch YouTube videos when they had one or two of them flying around the country, just testing and, you know, trying to get certified. I would just watch YouTube videos, you know, of this thing taking off, landing, all this stuff. So, I mean, I just fell in love with the airplane. So when I got to fly one for the first time, and I believe it was early 2018, I was just like, we were flying from Fort Wayne down to Bloomington for an IU basketball game, go Hoosiers, and just fell in love with this thing. And, but it wasn't even the airplane. I mean, the airplane is unbelievable, as you know, JW, but it was just the journey they took. I felt like it never was more clear to me about how a company had to be moving in the same direction downstream from a core value, a culture, just everybody had to be in alignment to make this thing happen. Otherwise it would have been so easy at year 4, 5, 6 to say, this is really stinking ass hard. And, you know, they literally just about, I mean, the financial struggles they went with, I mean, it was really tough, but they did it. And I can't imagine being in that company when they took delivery of that first plane coming off the production line. I just imagine the tears and the celebrations and the just unbelievable stuff. And, you know, that's the type of company I'm like, that's what I want to build. And so I said, I'm taking that and we're naming this company after it. It has nothing to do with dentistry. I don't care. You know, most company names don't anyways. So like, it's about the vision of what I want to, of what I want to build and what I want our team members to be part of. And, you know, something that they can look back on and say, I am so damn proud of what we did and what we built. It wasn't easy because, as you said, when we first started this recording, entrepreneurship isn't easy. It's hard, but that's what you got to have, people who are aligned. I mean, that is what we've been talking about. If you are aligned, you can literally go achieve anything, no matter how hard it is. And that's what Cirrus did. And I love that. I am so obsessed with that, just the journey they took to make that happen. And that's all I want for this company and for our people and for our teams and for our patients, is to know that there's resilience, there's grit. We're not going to ever give up. And we've got a team that really aligns with the vision and with the core values of this company and the mission of the company.
Well, it's a great name, even if it didn't have a jet behind it. It's just, you know, Vision Dental Partners, right? We started operating under the EOS system, entrepreneur organization system, and you know, you have a visionary and an implementer. And mm-hmm. My title of my card now is visionary, because I think that's more what I am. And I'm not a good implementer. And I tell people that's not my skill set, you know. And I've got people to do that. Quick story on that. I flew to Albuquerque in probably 2007, I'm guessing, and went to the Eclipse factory, and actually flew in. You know, I think it was had a tail number 500 or 501, and they had two of them. They were taking little test flights, and I got to take a little trip in that. And of course, Eclipse never made it, right? And that's where the Vision Jet kind of evolved from.
Yep.
And you're right, but it was the grit and determination. It was even somebody's dream early, right? That it didn't see through, and then somebody finished that dream, and Cirrus did it too.
Yep. Yeah. And that, to your point, and that was one of the reasons they said they'll never do it, is Eclipse didn't make it. It's so hard. And I think it's a little undervalued how hard any entrepreneur game is. And in the dental space, 100%. it's getting harder and harder and harder. You know, and I just, you better be aligned. You better be aligned from top to bottom. And it also helps that it's a really cool airplane. So,
well, I'll give you credit for that. I've been in them a few times, and I got some time in the SR-22T, and I love it. And yeah, it's kind of like if you're a plane person, you're like, that's the coolest thing ever, right? As a pilot, that's a really cool plane. So what's next for Vision Dental Partners? What's the next 1-2 years look like?
Yeah, you know, we're on the trail to get out there and just grow. We're looking for some external growth. We've focused a lot, like the, you know, the big buzzword's been internal growth over the last probably 12 to 24 months as we've all heard 1,000 times, but we really took it seriously. Like we took a really deep dive into absolutely everything that we do. We needed to scale back a little bit because we just had a little bit of a core value thing there that I needed to feel better about so that we could go now over the next 24 to 36 months. And, I think in that time we'd like to do, maybe 2 to 4 acquisitions a year and, just that makes sense. Again, like this isn't just, we're not trying to just go buy EBITDA. We're trying to find those that really align with our core values, really want to be business partners together and really just help go grow together. So, we'll do some more acquisitions, startup space maybe, but I'm leaning more towards the acquisition space and just kind of go from there.
Yeah. Well, exciting. I think you're right. You know, I tell people all the time, bigger is not better. Doesn't mean it's better. More revenue doesn't mean it's better. I always say, would you rather have $100 million a year company and you're keeping $100,000 a year, or would you rather have $10 million a year company and you keep $1 million a year? You know, there's the stress and the headaches is not there as well. So, well, this has been great. Last question.
Yeah,
I got a surprise question for you. So I always say, what year were you born? 44, you're born in
1980.
All right. Yeah. So on your tombstone one day, it's going to say 1980, then there's going to be a dash, and then there's going to have that final date. What do you want them to remember Brad for on the dash? What was the dash all about?
Yeah, I'd say 3 things. Great father, great husband, never gave up.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. I'm glad you said that first. I'm a big believer that I need to put my wife at the top and my kids, and then work and everything else can follow 100%. That. So, Brad, great to have you. I appreciate you taking the time to join. I know you're busy. You're back between South Carolina and Indiana, and you're in one of my favorite areas of the world around Charleston and Bluffton area. That's just absolute, not Charleston. I said Charleston, right? Charleston? Is that really the big city? What's Bluffton. The airport?
Yeah, Charleston's north of us, but yeah, we're down here on Bluffton, Hilton Head Island, Bluffton. Yep.
Hilton Head. Yeah. I was trying to say Hilton Head. Yeah. Hilton Head. Yep. Beautiful, beautiful area. So Brad, thank you for joining us. Really, really appreciate it, and have an awesome week.
Yeah. I appreciate it, JW. Always love your content. And I think you're a great guy. Appreciate having me on.
Thank you, Brad. Hey, everybody, for joining. Do hard stuff. And remember, sometimes it's hard, you just got to push on through. Have a great week.